Turn with me this morning in your Bibles to the book of Matthew, chapter 21. Matthew chapter 21, and we want to read verses 28 through 32 this morning. Jesus, continuing his response from last week's message concerning the chief priests and elders, scribes, Pharisees' question of where'd you get your authority, who gave it to you to do the things you do. It continues in verse 28 saying, "By what think ye? A certain man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, Son, go work today in my vineyard. He answered and said, I will not. But afterward he repented and went. And he came to the second and said, likewise. And he answered and said, I go, sir, and went not. Whither of them twain did the will of his father? They say unto him, the first. Jesus saith unto them, verily I say unto you, that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of heaven before you. For John came unto you in the way of righteousness, and ye believed him not. But the publicans and harlots believed him. And ye, when ye had seen it, repented not afterward, that ye might believe him." Matthew is the only gospel writer that records this parable. Remember concerning Matthew that Matthew portrays Christ as the King of the Jews. And so it is fitting that he records Christ giving this parable. As this parable pictures to us Christ having authority to command his servants. This parable is the first of three parables, which I believe Christ gave to the Pharisees, answering their question, by what authority do you do these things? Who gave you this authority? And eventually thus revealing to them their unbelief and his departure from them. So first of all this morning, the parable. This parable is speaking to the Jews. To the Jews of Jesus' day. Those are the ones that he came to in John chapter 1 and verse 11. He came unto his own. And Matthew if you remember from the start, has been faithful to show that coming. He showed him coming as an Israelite of the tribe of Judah, a descendant of David and rightful heir to the throne, and he came unto his own. That is, he was an Israelite of the tribe of Judah, the seed of David. In this parable, he is not speaking of the Gentiles. So let us consider the content. The first son said he wouldn't go, but he repented and went. The second son said he would go, but he did not go. Some think, and some commentaries which I've looked at, think that the first son is Israel, who according to Israel, according to history, received the command of God first. They received the Word of God. They received the law of God. And the second son is the Gentiles who received the command of Christ, of God, next. This just is not so. It doesn't hold water. The bag is full of holes, so to speak. Israel has not gone. The Gentiles have. Not only that, it is not according to our text. It's not according to the context. He's not speaking to Gentiles. He's speaking to Jews. He's speaking to Israelites. He's speaking to particularly to those individuals who represent, who were rulers and represent the whole of Israel. And the context is the authority of God and Israel's relationship to that authority. The certain man is God. The two sons represent two sorts of individuals in Israel. And the vineyard represents the kingdom of God. This certain man, God, commanded his two sons to work in his vineyard, in his kingdom. The context of chapter 21 is in agreement with this understanding of the parable. Verse 33 continues on by saying, hear another parable. It's going to be a continuation of that addressing that all-important question. Where did you get your authority? Who gave it to you? It is speaking of authority and obedience and the reason Christ will turn from the Jews to the Gentiles. And that will become even more evident in the next two parables as we consider them. In our preceding message, in verses 23 through 27, the chief priests and elders are asking Jesus where he got his authority, who gave him the authority. Who gave him the authority to enter in like a king into Jerusalem, in verses 1 through 9? Who gave him the authority to cleanse the temple, in verses 12 through 16? And who gave him the authority to curse the barren fig tree, in verses 18 through 23? Which, some may take the position, well, what evidence do you have that these chief priests and elders and scribes and what have you knew about the cursing of the fig tree? I suppose, quite probably, that was pretty well noised abroad in the city. I mean, such a phenomena as that, such a display of power as that, even his apostles would not keep quiet about and tell others about it. The Jews, as a nation, have rejected the authority of God. Not just in the days of Jesus, but for a long time. Why they had come to the place and the state that they were at the time of Jesus was because of their rejection of God. Their forefathers had rejected his authority long ago. Had submitted to idol worship. Had not even submitted to the one true God. Not only that, we have seen in our studies on Wednesday evening in the book of Ezekiel and in Jesus' day, in our studies of the book of Matthew, we've seen that they replaced the laws and worship of God. Replaced is probably not a correct word. They altered the laws of God. They altered the worship of God and thought that was acceptable, even though they weren't doing it quite as God commanded, even though they weren't worshiping quite as God directed. We need to be careful because we do too sometimes. We don't worship God as we ought to worship Him. We don't follow His Word as we ought to follow it. We try to make it say something a little different than what it does. Because you know the times have changed drastically. So we got to move it up to our 21st century. They rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. And these whom Jesus was speaking to have rejected John the Baptist, as is the point of this parable. Now the two sons. One is the chief priests, scribes, elders, and Pharisees. And the other is the publicans and harlots, sinners. All within the nation of Israel. So he's speaking to God, speaking to his sons. His two sons, some of one sort and some of another sort of them. The first son in verse 29 matches with the publicans and harlots, who at first did not believe but then repented and became workers in his vineyard, the kingdom of God. Look at verse 32 again. For John came unto you by the way of righteousness, and ye believed him not, but the publicans and the harlots believed him. You see? They represent the first son. The publicans and the harlots represent the first son, who by nature, sinners, against God, have no desire to follow after God, have no desire to go in the ways of God. They're great sinners. But John the Baptist came with authority from God, preaching repentance and baptism. And they came repenting of their sins and being baptized. The second son in verse 30, the one who said he would go and then didn't go, matches with the chief priests, scribes, elders, and Pharisees, who said they believed and would obey, but they did not the commands of God from the heart. John the Baptist came preaching. They didn't, at the first, they didn't have too much of a problem with John. They come to his baptism. But John said, you haven't repented. You haven't given forth fruit. You repented. They were the self-righteous. They are the leaders of the nation of Israel. Self-righteous. We be good men. Leaders of the people of God. And say, but they do not obey. They do not the commands of God. They have no need to heed John's message of repentance. Repent? What do I need to repent of? There's nothing I need to repent of. By the way, is not that the way of man today? What I need to repent of? Even the worst, we would say the worst of sinners, even they think they're pretty good, fella. I don't think they think so awfully bad. Well, by whose standards?
Certainly not the standards of God.
In verse 31 it says, the publicans and harlots go into the kingdom of God before those that are highly religious but have not obeyed the gospel.
Publicans and harlots, the great sinners. When they're awakened to their sin. And it's easier for them to be awakened to and therefore go into the kingdom of God. And the others. Mark chapter 2, in verse 17 says, they that, Jesus said, speaking here, says, they that are whole have no need of the physician, but they that are sick.
I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repent. He didn't come to call those who think that they are righteous. They are self-righteous. They think they're righteous. They think they're good men. came to call sinners. Sinners. To repentance. In other words, he came to call those to repentance whom God awakens to their great need, to the fact that they are sinners. And they are in need of help. They are in need of the Savior. This parable that we have here is a parable of reproof. He is reproving these chief priests and elders and scribes and Pharisees and Sadducees and whoever else. He's reproving them, and it speaks loudly to the arrogant, self-righteous Jews. Well, you're going to find as we go on and as we conclude looking at the other two parables. This angered them. Because they perceived he was talking about them. And it angered them. And they sought the more to take him and kill him. This parable manifests plainly that those who did not believe John's message of repentance and therefore were not baptized of him, they did not believe God's authority. They did not believe that John had the authority from God. In other words, they did not believe God.
And they were put to shame by those who did. They were put to shame by those who... Isn't that what Jesus said here? Look with me. Let's read verses 31, 32 closely here. He said, "Whether of them twain did the will of his father? They say unto him, the first. Jesus saith unto them, Verily I say unto you, that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God, before you. For John came unto you in the way of righteousness, and ye believed him not, but the publicans and the harlots, those great sinners, those whom the chief priests and elders and scribes and Pharisees hated, despised. They couldn't understand how Jesus and his disciples ate with them, had anything to do with them, believed him, and ye, you chief priests, you elders, you scribes, you Pharisees, when ye had seen it, repented not afterward that ye might believe him." And they did see it. They did witness it. They did witness those people, those throngs of people coming to John's baptism, repenting of their sins, being baptized, confessing their sins, being baptized because they had confessed their sins before God. And they did not repent and believe themselves. John demanded of them, because they'd come wanting to be baptized like everybody else was. They didn't want somebody to have something over them. And John said, "Who has warned you to flee from the wrath of God?" In other words, what he was saying to them, "You weren't here when I was preaching the message of repentance and your need to repent. You have not repented of your sins and confessed. Bring forth therefore fruit, meat for repentance. Bring forth fruit that is suitable of repentance, showing that you have repented." asked you this morning, have you repented? What evidence do you give? What evidence do I give that I have repented of my sin? And that's a foreign message in today's religious society. The message of repentance is not preached today. Men don't know they need to repent. They're just told that God loves you. Well, God loves those that are His. He loves those whom He has chosen. And those whom He has chosen, He will bring to Himself. And they will love Him. They will repent of their sins and love Him. You see? So, the second thing we want to consider this morning is the ministry of John. It is part of the text. Jesus is dealing with the ministry of John the Baptist. Not only in last week's message, but in this week's, as he references John. Turn with me back to the book of Matthew in chapter 3, and we've referenced this already in the message this morning. But Matthew chapter 3, and look with me here at verses 1 and 2. In those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That was John's message. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Look at verse 5. Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan. A great host of people went out to him from that region, so much so that it said, then went Jerusalem, all Judea and the region round about, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. That is, they repented of their sins, they confessed their sins, and so John baptized them. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath of God? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. And think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner. But he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. You see, John in his preaching, yes, he's preaching repentance, but he's also preaching the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ is to come and will come and has come. Turn with me now to the book of John. So John preached repentance, yes, but he also gave witness to Jesus Christ. In John chapter 1, and we want to begin reading verse
And this is the record of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who art thou?" And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, "I'm not the Christ." And they asked him, "What then? Art thou Elias?" And he saith, "I am not." "Art thou that prophet?" And he answered, "No." Then said they unto him, "Who art thou? That we may give an answer to them that sent us, what sayest thou of thyself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord. As said the prophet Esaias, and they which were sent were of the Pharisees." Well, that's typical, isn't it? Typical. The Pharisees are sending to have John the Baptist questioned. "Who are you?" Seems familiar, doesn't it? Isn't that what they said to the Lord? Basically, "Who are you? Where did you get your authority? Who gave you this authority?" And they asked him and said unto him, "Why baptizest thou then, if thou be not the Christ, nor Elias, neither that prophet? Why do you baptize? Where'd you get your authority to baptize? Who gave you the authority to baptize?" John answered them, saying, "I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you, whom you know not. He it is who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoes latched I am not worthy to unloose. These things were done in Betharba, beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing." Look at verse 29. "The next day, John seeth Jesus coming," and I suppose that these inquisitors were still present. Those ones who had questioned John about who he was were still present. "John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said." You see John's reverence? "This is he of whom I said." Who? He said that to the inquisitors. He said that to the company sent by the Pharisees. "This is he of whom I said, After me cometh a man, which is preferred before me, for he was before me, and I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel, therefore am I come baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, Upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God." Now, from that time, many begin to follow Jesus Christ. Interesting note. You can search all the other Gospels. John has given the most, more detailed event of what took place with John the Baptist and the Pharisees and his followers and him pointing them to the Lord Jesus Christ. But we have no record that any of those, the Pharisees and the company that the Pharisees sent to question John, ever followed Christ. None of that company. In verses 35 through 51 of this chapter, the end of the chapter, tells of some who were true followers of Christ, tells of some who were following John, and then they began to follow Jesus. Jesus called them. Jesus called Andrew and Peter. Jesus called James and John. Jesus called Nathanael and Bartholomew. And they began to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. So then John came preaching, repent of your sins toward God. Repent of your sins toward God and look in faith to Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. Isn't that what he preached here? Isn't that what he gave testimony to the Lord Jesus Christ and him coming. John was sent from God. Look at verse 6 of the first chapter of the book of John. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. Talking about John the Baptist. And after giving a little more details about the Lord Jesus Christ and him and so forth, then it goes into the record of John the Baptist. John was sent from God. What does it mean that he was sent from God? God sent him to this earth for a specific ministry, so he had authority. The authority of God to come and preach repentance and to baptize those who repented of their sins. Those that won't listen and heed the message of the Father are rebellious. They're disobedient. They're rebellious to the authority of the Father and of the Son. We find those Pharisees, those chief priests, scribes, those elders, we find them being rebellious to John the Baptist, the authority who had the authority from God, and we find them being rebellious to the Father's Son whom he sent, which is the next parable that we'll be getting into. The Father sent his servants. They didn't respect his servants. And so finally he sent them his Son. And they killed his Son. So now, you say, well, this is a great parable. This is a parable respecting the Israelites, respecting the Jews. God is the certain man. The two sons are two sorts of Israelites, two sorts of Jews, two classes among the Jews. And the vineyard is the kingdom of God. Is there an application here for you and I? Is there an application here to the Gentile world? I believe there is. As it applies to men today, certain man, God. There's two sorts of people today. Two sorts. Two kinds of people. There's believers and unbelievers. All men basically are the same Same boat, same tradition.
No, I won't go.
And they won't. John chapter 5 and verse 40, Jesus said, ye will not come to me. You might have eternal life. But then they repent through the preaching of the gospel. They repent of their sins.
Trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. They become workers in His field. To see this, two kinds of people. Turn to the book of John chapter 3. And here, in verse 18 and 36, and for time's sake, we'll just read these two verses. In verse 18 it says, he that believeth on him is not condemned. So we have a believer. And he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. So here in this verse we see two kinds of people, two sorts of people. We find believers and we find unbelievers. Look at verse 36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. We find in that verse, we find two kinds of people.
Believers and unbelievers.
Those who at the first don't believe, they won't serve Jesus Christ, but then in time they repent and believe. They become workers in the kingdom of God. That's come to Christ through repentance and faith in Him. Those who are religious, and I might say this, all men are religious. I don't care who they are. Atheist, agnostic, they're religious of sort.
The atheist and the agnostic, they worship themselves if nobody else. They worship their own beliefs and their own ideas, if nothing else. All are religious of sorts. And they think, I'm not a bad man. And they think, well, if there is a heaven, well, I'm going there. You'd be surprised the number of people in our day and time that think when you die, that's the end of things. That's it. Well, that's certainly foreign to God's Word, is it not? Foreign to Scripture.
They're non-believers. They don't believe. But praise God that in time, some of them, those whom He chose before the foundation of the world, in time, some of those repent.
Because they were ordained unto belief. They were ordained unto eternal life. It was given unto them to believe.
But even those who profess Christianity. Among those who profess Christianity, there are many who think they're pretty good people. Because I've made a profession of faith. I've walked the aisle. I was dipped in water. I was sprinkled. I was immersed. I was sprinkled as a baby. I've been a Catholic all my life. I've been a Baptist all my life.
My parents were Baptists. My grandparents were Baptists. My great-grandparents were Baptists. Why, my great-grandpappy was a Baptist minister. I've had people tell me these kind of things, as though that will give them some kind of entrance into heaven with God.
Give them some kind of favorable standing with God. And while all the while professing these things,
they manifest that they lack fruit. They don't come unto Christ, and they're not workers in His field. We saved members of His church are sent of God. Get this. We saved members of His church are sent of God. We're saved by God. And by God we're added to His church. And we're sent of God. Told His church in the book of Mark, chapter 16, verse 15. Let's turn there. Mark chapter 16 and verse 15. Told us to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And He said unto them, that is the 11, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. We've been sent of God. John 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word is Jesus Christ. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. The Word is Jesus Christ. He's God. He commanded us to go. We're sent by God. We have authority from God. Therefore, Jesus said in the book of Matthew, chapter 1, and or chapter 28 and verse 18. All authority is given unto me. He said, I'm God. I have all authority. And as His Son, it's been given to me. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Baptize them. We've been sent. We have authority from God to do the work of God. Preach the gospel to those who do not believe. And they will not believe until God makes them willing. Until God makes them willing. And then they'll come. They'll come through repentance and faith. Repentance toward God and faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ. They'll be workers. They'll be workers in the kingdom of God. And hopefully workers in the church of God. Difference. There's a difference between the family of God, the kingdom of God, and the church of God. I hope you understand that difference this morning. Shall we stand?